All right, new laws are passed and signed by the governor, and that's where we bring in attorney Jonathan Bell, the Bell Law Group. You know well, BellG.com, employment attorney extraordinaire, small business expert, and the founder of the Bell Law Group. We say good morning to John. Great to have you as always, and very important stuff, John, when it comes to the workplace, private sector employers. They're going to have to follow some procedures here. Safety procedures we're talking about, and it's all designed to delay the spread of illnesses such as COVID, and employers are responsible enough for enforcing these rules. It's under new state law. Very important stuff, what you need to know here, sir.
Good morning, Jay. I hope you're doing well. And yes, you're correct. Governor Cuomo just signed the Health and Essential Rights Law, known as HERO, just signed it on Wednesday. So employers now have to take affirmative steps for the safety of their employees. It directs the State Labor Relations Commission to develop minimum requirements to prevent the exposure to aerial infections in the workplace and protect not only the employees, Jays, but customers and the general public. So this is big news for employers. It doesn't matter of the employer's size. Even if you have one employee, Jay, such as a domestic worker, you have to follow these laws. It even includes postings. There has to be postings not only in English, but in the employee's native language to ensure that they understand what the new policy and procedures are. So they're requiring the employers to check to ensure that the employees are wearing masks, that they're provided with hand wash breaks, and they have to frequently clean shared equipment such as furniture and railing and improve social distancing and ventilation. Now, this is critical, Jay. If an employer has more than 10 employees, they have to establish a joint labor management workplace safety commission. And don't think that this is going to be easy. You can't just throw some management together. The employees get to choose who's on this thing, and two-thirds of it has to be made up of workers, not employers. And the head of the committee has to be an employee. Jay, there are also very strong anti-retaliation provisions. So if an employee calls in and says he or she doesn't feel safe in the workplace, or if they're part of this committee, they cannot be retaliated against. So the very, very strong retaliation provisions. In addition, Jay, there are fines, strong fines for employers who violate this. It could be $50 a day for first-time violations, $200 a day for second-time violations, and the fines could be anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000. So there's pretty severe draconian provisions for employers who don't comply. Now, some people who support the bill says that it's important for employees to protect themselves in the workplace. However, proponents of it, of course, they say that it's costly, it's burdensome, and it triggers predatory proceedings.
That's a possibility. You know, I was thinking about this where so many now are working from home and the offices have closed and everything else. So in essence, something of this nature, you are not really facilitating getting back to office life. Is it a little too stringent? You know, we always say one can police themselves, you know, as far as the lessening of the restrictions and opening up stuff. Is it a little too strict, though, John, when you think about it, as far as putting a lot of onus on the employer? Now, you listen, all it takes is one disgruntled employee can set everything in action here. Could be a lot of disruption. What about that aspect?
You're absolutely correct, Jay. It might be a little too strong, especially for employers that have that 10 or more employees. They're requiring the committee to meet at least quarterly to discuss safety concerns, and you might have that disgruntled employee that gives them an avenue to start making complaints and causing issues in the workplace. that even, Jay, could potentially be a private right of action where an employee can sue an employer for failing to follow the steps of the product protocol, but it's a pretty high burden. The employee would have to show that it creates a substantial probability that death or serious physical harm could result. Now, if the employer is found liable, they have to pay $20,000 in liquidated damages plus attorney's fees. However, there is a good provision that if it's found that the employee started this in a frivolous way, the employee may have to pay some sanctions. But, you know, to answer to your question, listen, I believe in employee safety. I believe there should be an outlet, an open door policy to discuss issues like this in the workplace. But, you know, these requirements are a little bit too stringent and make it a little bit more difficult for employers here in New York.
I mean, why not just incentivize it? You know, I mean, if you're trying to get the economy going and the restaurants going and people back in and everything, a lot of people will say, you know what? I don't need the headache here. Are you kidding me? $1,000 to $10,000 worth of fines? All it takes is one bad apple to trigger something here. I mean, why do I even have to go through this rigmarole? I mean, that could be the mindset. I mean, to me, it's just way too complex. Too much burden as far as the employer is concerned. Costly it could be, you know, proceedings that you don't need. It could be just a giant headache. And I could see the average employer saying, you know what? We've already done the home office deal and the Zoom calls. It seems to be working. We're productive. We haven't really faltered that much. Why not continue, see what happens? We could always make changes. Certainly something like this can shoot things the other way. I don't see this thing as being beneficial at all. And you know something? When I look at the state and who signed this and who signed off on this and the micromanaging and everything else, I mean, it's no surprise. But I got to tell you, this to me throws an absolute nail in the coffin as far as getting back to some sort of normality, especially in the workplace.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that, you know, Cuomo did do one good thing by filing an amendment allowing employers to correct the condition once they're on notice of it before they get a fine. So there is some opportunity for a correction before you get the fine. Additionally, the reason they did this is really because of the essential workers. There was a lot of workers that were ultimately killed that they believed could have been saved due to different protocols. So there was some good intention behind it. But I think in the rollout process, it's a little bit stringent, especially for offices and stuff that really don't have to deal as much with the concern of people's life and death safety. So I think they should have done some more watered-down version of what they're doing. I do believe that it is important to do something, but this seems a little bit over the top when employers are trying basically still to survive this pandemic, you know, and deal with loss of profit, loss of income. Well, as you've mentioned before, ex-employees who may not want to come back to the workplace because of the great unemployment benefits they're receiving, just makes it a little bit more challenging.
Let's be real here. You know, let's be all adults and police ourselves. We can do it at this point without laying down those types of guidelines. Quickly, John, I've been critical regarding intervention, especially when it comes to government and Main Street USA. There's so many restaurants now with signs. You drive down anywhere, any city, regarding help wanted signs, especially in restaurants right now. And listen, I've been critical regarding the unemployment, the $300 bump. Some say it has nothing to do with that. I say it does, especially in New York, where, you know, it comes out to $33,000 and change by sitting on the sideline and getting the extra dollars. What about the aspect of that? A lot of states now are going the other way. They're saying, you know what, I'm done with it. A lot of states, six or seven of them have already said I'm out as far as that extra supplement. What about your take on this whole thing?
Well, you know, I agree with you, obviously, in part. I mean, it does, at least in New York, as of now, expire in September. People in New York could really collect over $800 a week if they're on unemployment, if they get the entire $504 state requirement plus the additional $300. That's much more than the $15 an hour minimum wage, so they'd rather sit home and collect that than go back to work. On the same token, Jay, we got to remember that, you know, Long Island's doing a great job. We're down to 6% unemployment, which is very close to pre-pandemic. So people in Long Island are getting up and going to work. Not as much in New York City, but also I think that relates to New York City still being closed in part, which may change. Seems to be changing very, very soon. Good news for Long Island for getting out there, getting to work, and not just sitting home and collecting unemployment. So there seems to be some opportunity. But, yeah, employers I still hear are having trouble getting people in the workplace to the extent where they're actually offering sign-on bonuses, like $1,000 for them to accept the job as long as they agree to stay for a particular period of time, which is not a bad idea, but obviously could cost the employers more.
Yeah, we told the folks about two chains in particular, Applebee's and Chipotle, offering some big-time stuff. John Bell, we'll keep an eye on things with this whole thing. Of course, John, the great Bell Law Group, BellG.com, employment attorney extraordinaire, small business expert, and the founder of that fantastic Bell Law Group. Until next time, sir, stay well.
Thank you, Jay, as always. Talk to you soon.